Our second scripture reading today is going to be from Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attributes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Now, today's sermon is actually going to be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you'd like to flip there with me. Before we get into the Word, just want to kind of reiterate, not feeling too great this morning, so your prayers are definitely appreciated, and because of that, I'm not going to be out front shaking hands and passing my germs along to everyone else. Also, what's kind of funny about that is when reading through this passage in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul talks about he came in weakness and fear with trembling. And I just kind of found that ironic, trying to bring this message to you while feeling weak. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? But he does it for a reason, because you'll see anything good comes out of the message, it's all him, because I got nothing to give. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in the words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. So this is a long section, and a lot of stuff is packed in here. Well, obviously, we're talking about the difference between man's wisdom and God's wisdom. and how that wisdom is provided to us, and how we are to know the things that God wants us to know. Now, a little history and backstory to set up kind of what Paul is going through here in Corinth. Now, Corinth is in the southern part of Greece, very close to Athens, and in this time, you always hear about the Greek philosophers, the Greek wisdom, and to be a high thinker, a philosopher in that time, they were thought very highly of. And it even got to the point where there would be people in that time who would get paid to logic their way through a problem. Someone would throw out a ridiculous claim, and if the philosopher was able to use his reason and logic to find the way to the end of the puzzle, he'd get paid. He would be held up and thought very highly of. So as Paul is addressing the church in Corinth, he's telling the congregation that the world thinks the message of the cross is foolishness, because in man's wisdom and man's logic, it doesn't make sense. You come to Greece telling us that someone died and then got up and walked away. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't happen. That's not how our world works. And the logic of man just tries to figure things out. And we see this a lot. If we read back through history, even within the church, when we try to use man's wisdom to logic and reason our way through the scriptures, we run into problems. As we look back a couple Sundays ago, talking about the different heresies that came up, when people trying to figure out exactly who this Jesus character was. How could he be fully God and fully man? And when they tried to use their own logic, they created heresies, and they led other people astray. So Paul's trying to encourage and exhort the congregation here in Corinth not to rely on that high-esteemed philosopher logic that they had in the Greco-Roman world, but to rely on the perfect wisdom of God. So he says, I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom. So that's where he's making that connection between the Greco-Roman philosophy and the wisdom of God. Because he's bringing not his own way of speaking, not his eloquence, to say, oh, wow, he spoke that really well. I should listen to him because of the way he speaks. He's saying, no, I didn't do that. I brought the truth. I brought you the scripture and what God has revealed to me. And what's really interesting here is in verse 4, it says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Now, interesting little factoid about this is that word demonstration. And when you dive into the Greek, it brings out more of the power of this passage. And the Greek word means a most rigorous proof. And one commentary I was reading this week says, some proofs indicate no more than the conclusion follows the premise. But with this word, the premises are known to be true, and therefore the conclusion is not only logical, but certainly true. So jump back to the scripture here, where it says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. He's showing not only a logical reasoning argument saying, oh yeah, that makes sense, but clearly showing the power of the Spirit of God. And that's how he's been coming to them. And when we continue on to verse 5, this is probably one of the most important parts of this passage, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Think of this for a second. If you are convinced by an argument to follow a certain path, let's just say a modern philosophy. There are many other examples we could go with. That's just the one that popped in my head. So a modern philosophy, someone can reason and argue to where you say, yeah, that makes sense. I'll follow what you're saying. But what is the underlying connotation there? That someone's argument was able to convince you to follow them. So what happens when a better argument comes out against that philosophy you just accepted as true? You turn to that better argument, that more reasoned and logic argument. So you can bounce around this world going from philosophy to philosophy to philosophy to philosophy, whichever one sounds better in the moment. That's dangerous, isn't it? Because where are you rooted? What are you connected to? Where are you getting truth? Because if you're just bouncing around in different ways of thinking by someone's eloquence or logic, you're always going to be searching. You're always going to be lost. But Paul says, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. God, who is never changing, always steadfast in his love, faithful through all generations, Psalm 100. That's where our hope rests. Our faith comes from God and his power, not something that we can conjure up and logic our way through. Now, for me, this hits home because of my own testimony, my own story of how I accepted Christ as my Savior. Because I was that person finding all the flaws in people's logic with reasoning through Scripture. Because I didn't come to Christ until I was in my second year of college, and I was that logical, analytical thinker trying to poke holes and find what was wrong with the Christian belief. And the amazing thing about that journey and trying to find those answers is God didn't give me any of the answers. He gave me something better. His Spirit touched my heart, and I knew in an instant he was real. Not because of what I figured out, not because of arguments that other Christian friends had told me, but because of the power of God presence in my heart. Now, where do we get this wisdom? From God, from the Spirit. Continuing in verse 6, we do, however, speak of a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now, I want to stop here for a moment and kind of dive deeper into this particular verse. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the Gnostic heresy, where they were trying to seek a secret truth, and if they could find that secret knowledge, then they could be saved. Now, Paul is not going there, and this may be one of the verses that's helped spur the Gnostic movement, but really where Paul is coming from in this is we as humans are not able to reach the deep things of God on our own. So if God had not chosen to reveal his Spirit, his power, his knowledge and wisdom to us, they would still be secret and hidden from us because we could not be able to attain them, which shows God's love in sending the Spirit, in sending Jesus, in sending the prophets, showing his revelation to us, the special revelation. Now, we know there's general revelation that Paul talks about in Romans, where every man knows that there is a God because he looks in creation and can see God through the created order. But general revelation is not enough to save you. You must have a salvific knowledge, special revelation, that is Scripture, the Word, Jesus. with that, it made me think about that passage over in James. You don't need to flip there. It's just one little verse I'm going to read to you. But in James 2, verse 19, Eden touches on believing, but then accepting Christ in saying this. You believe there isn't a God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. See, there's knowing there's a God, and then there's being in the Spirit and having a salvific faith and a salvific relationship with Jesus Christ. We can have knowledge and wisdom from a man's standpoint, and accept this lower level understanding, but it's not until we have the Spirit of God in us, able to discern the spiritual things, that we are saved. Because even the demons know and believe Jesus, but they shudder because they don't have salvation. So these are the deep, hidden things of God that he, in his grace and mercy, revealed to us. Continuing in verse 8, none of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. So here's where Paul gets into trusting in the Spirit, because our man's wisdom obviously is flawed. So now we compare and contrast, we're getting into the Spirit. And how do we know God's truth through the Spirit? It says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. And we think about, does someone really know you? Let's think about our interactions and different friends and families. When we have a relationship with someone, we get to learn more things about them and the relationship grows, but we never really fully understand what's in someone's head, what's in their heart. We can get close, we have close relationships, but only an individual knows fully what's in their head and in their heart. Sometimes not even then, because you have repressed memories and you try to kind of lie to yourself, but God knows all. And the point here is, the Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, right? So you have one essence, God, because we serve one God, but there are three persons within that one essence, the Holy Trinity. So the Spirit of God fully knows everything of God, because he is God. Then that Spirit now, through Jesus' work on the cross and resurrection and us accepting Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit now dwells within us. Now we are able to fully access, through God's grace and mercy, the things of God. We're able to understand and discern the spiritual truths. So this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. Without the Spirit working within us, when we come to the Scriptures, then they're just stories. They're just mythology to some people. History. Without the Spirit, we cannot understand the deep things of God that He's trying to explain to us. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts, teaching us about God, reminding us what Jesus had taught us. And I can remember when I first accepted Jesus and I started going to church, and I was had a roommate at the time, brilliant guy, one of the smartest people I've ever known. But he didn't know Christ. He didn't have the Spirit within him. And this is a guy who could explain, quantum mechanics and string theory. No joke, I've heard him do it, and it went right over my head. But I told him about my walk and how I accepted Christ and I was a new creation. It blew his mind. He's like, you can't accept God, and this, all the arguments you would hear from a critic of the faith. For someone so brilliant, he couldn't understand. Because the spiritual things are discerned by the Spirit of God. Man's wisdom cannot fathom it. It's foolishness, as Paul says, to the non-believer. And what's interesting about growing in the faith, each time we come to the Scriptures and we pray to the Holy Spirit, help me understand this passage, we can get to know more and more and more as the Spirit works within us, broadening our understanding within our minds, giving us new perspectives, new insights, new wisdom from God. We're not growing our own wisdom through this learning and teaching. We're gaining more wisdom from God. I'll give you a little example on this. When my kids come down here for walks, I got to take the message and boil it down to the very, very basic. Like last week when it was just Moira up here, I kind of panicked a little bit because I'm doing the five solas, the Reformation, and I got my five-year-old daughter up here to teach her the five solas. Like, okay, let's boil this down to the base elements so that she can at least grasp one little piece of wisdom from it. Now, we have all been in that state, and by that state I mean a brand new Christian, brand new to the faith, just learning about all the amazing theological stuff that's in the Bible. And there's so much. I mean, there are volumes and volumes of information talking about the Bible. But we start with this small little nugget of truth that gets implanted in our hearts and our minds. And as we keep going back to the Scriptures over and over and over, we start to grow in our spiritual maturity. The Holy Spirit works in us and reveals more and more wisdom through the Scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 6, it says in verse 1, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. So he's saying, we need to accept that foundation theology. Yes, good, you've got it. Now let's grow that. Because as we can keep coming back to the scriptures, God matures us in the faith. But it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. But this is actually an amazing thing, a comforting thing, that it's not our wisdom, our strength, our understanding that helps us grow in spiritual maturity. All we have to do is come to the feet of the cross, saying, God, show me your wisdom. Show me your understanding. And he gives freely. It's an amazing comfort that God, his strength, takes us through. Because to be honest, I was questioning whether I'd be able to stand today to do this. But throughout the past 20 minutes, I haven't felt sick at all. I know that when I get home, I'm going to crash. Because it's God's power. Because as Paul said, I came with fear and trembling, but demonstrated the power of God. So that's what I want you to take with you this week, to dive into the scriptures. Because even if we've read them before, each time we come back to it with a new understanding because of the Spirit, to dive into the deep things of God. Say, Lord, build me up. Show me your will, your way for my life. How do I fit into the body of Christ? What do you want me to do with this amazing gift you've given me? Will you pray with me? Father God, we humbly come before you, Lord, knowing that without you, we are nothing. Without you, Lord, we are condemned. Without you, Lord, our greatest wisdom is foolishness. Lord, help us to renew our minds, as Paul says in Romans 12. Lord, work within us to grow us spiritually so we may live out the will and mission you have for our lives, Lord. Father, show us the deep things of God, that we may grow closer to you, our Heavenly Father. We can come before you saying, Abba, Father. Help us desire that close relationship with you. Help us to not just see this walk as a responsibility or something we need to do, ought to do, should do. But Lord, give us the joy of salvation. Help us to run into your arms, because we know you will hold us forever, Lord. Please grant us your wisdom. As James tells us, if we're without wisdom, all we have to do is ask, and you will give freely. Help us in our walk. Guide us with the Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.